thank you, Father. Father God, we thank you and we praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here tonight and watching us online. We thank you, Father, that you have a plan and a purpose for their life. And Father God, we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. We thank you tonight as we go to study your word, that your word will not return void, but that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. But we thank you that most of all, that we'll take the word that we hear, that sheds forth life on the inside of us, and we'll go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And we thank you tonight. We come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, and your ability. You be lifted up. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising word of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we thank you most of all for your anointing that's here tonight. Your anointing that saturates us and changes us and makes everything okay. Father God, we thank you for mom and dad as they're taking a little bit of time off this week before Winter Bible Seminar. We thank you that you're just helping them refresh. And we thank you that they'll be all charged up and ready to go. We thank you for everything you are doing and everything you have doing both here and around the world. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hope everyone's doing great up there. You know, it's like I said, it is kind of odd. In fact, now it's going to be odd whenever you're sitting down here now because not used to anybody being down here. But, you know, it's kind of different. But it's amazing how we've been able to transform this auditorium in just a short period of time. And, you know, and thank God we have a balcony that we can get everybody in, that we can be able to have service. Well, tonight I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about myself. No, actually, I'm good about that. I talked about myself. I'm actually just going to just give you a story, what went on in my own life, and you know, or you know, a lot of things I do, you do. We all do the same things, and you know, we have the same devil. We also have the same God. And just this week, I was looking at some things, and many of you know that I have an accounting degree. I teach financial management in class here at Rama, if you're a student. And you know, I think about financial things quite a bit, and I was looking at some financial things and some stuff, had a few bills this month that I didn't think about, and I was kind of complaining, kind of wondering, you know, about money, finances, and different things like that, kind of griping. Has anyone ever been there before? So three of you. And we've all been there before. You know, whenever we're looking at our facts and figures and bills and thinking, man, you know, I thought I just got everything paid off and now I have all, you know, this and that and, you know, paying, helping kids go through college, all kinds of stuff like that. And I was actually, to be honest with you, I was in my bathroom complaining to myself, you know, about things. And all of a sudden, on the inside, see, that's the way it works with me and the way it should work with all of us, is all of a sudden on the inside, in the middle of your complaining, the words should come up from the inside. Because on the inside of me, all of a sudden, a scripture came up, all of you can probably quote it, but you can turn there, Philippians 4:19. I'm going to read it from the King James because that's how I quoted it. Philippians 4:19. What does it say? It says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I mean, so as soon as that scripture hit me, all of a sudden I started meditating on the scripture. I didn't have the Bible in front of me. I know the word. And started breaking it down and started thinking about context and all kinds of things. And, you know, obviously, this is in Philippians, so this is Paul talking to the church in Philippi, you know, in his letter. And he was saying, but my God, meaning the same God that I serve, Paul's God. You know, there is no difference. God is the same. The same yesterday, today, and forever. God, he said, I'm the Lord our God, I change not. It's the same God. So the same God that was with Paul is the same God we have today. And he was, what he was trying to tell that church there in Philippi is that is my God is also your God. We all serve the same God. Now he says that my God shall supply all your need. Now, let's look at the verse, the word shall. So I looked up the word shall later on in the dictionary. And shall, according to Merriam-Webster Dictionary online here, says will have to or must. Another definition is will be able to or can. So my God must and he can supply. So you understand we serve a must-can God. Our God must supply all our needs. Or our God can supply all our needs. I think that most of us realize that he can. But we don't act like we realize he can. Do you realize that? Because if we acted like we realize he can, then we wouldn't be griping and complaining about our financial situation or whatever other situation is. So our God can, he must supply all of our need. Now, the definition of all, and I think it's important to understand definitions, and I know many of you want to know the Greek and the Hebrew and all the other brews, but the main thing is know the English. Because, and if you want to know the Greek and Hebrew, you're really not knowing Greek and Hebrew, you're actually finding the English word for that Greek word or English word for that Hebrew word, because it's the English word that really matters. Because that's how you understand. All right, but the word all, definition of all, is this, the whole amount, quantity, or extent of. Another definition is every member, individual component of. Another definition is the whole number or sum of. Another definition is every. Now here's the thing. The Bible says, Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply or must supply or can supply every need, all your needs, not just part of your needs. Most people actually, I don't care how they quote the scripture, this is how they think in their own mind. But my God, almost fell over right there. My God shall, can supply part of my needs. They don't quote it that way, but that's how they picture it, because that's how they act. So sometimes I think that we sit around and we think, we get our pen and paper out and say, if God can supply about 30% of our need, I can make the other 70% work okay. You notice it doesn't say, but my God shall supply all your need as long as you help him supply all your need. In fact, if we really kind of read on, the Bible says that we have not because we ask not. It says, ask what you will and it shall be done. Early in this chapter, it was talked about asking in prayer. The thing is that the only way he's going to supply your need for you is for you to ask. See, a lot of people are quoting the scripture, but they never told God, hey, God, this is my need. This is what I'm going through. This is what I'm going through. Now, I didn't tell him to turn here, but turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Like I said, I didn't give him that, but I looked it up myself. John 14, I'll go to the New King James because I haven't marked my Bible here. John chapter 14, verse number 13 says this, and whatever you ask, so you have to do the asking, in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So the thing about it is, for you to have your needs met, you got to first ask. Ask. Now, you probably learned to ask at a young age. At some point in time, I'm sure that, growing up, depending on how old you are, at some point in time, you ask your mom or your dad for money. Now, for me, when I was growing up, I would ask my parents for $5 quite a bit. Now, $5 doesn't buy a whole lot. So your kids ask you for $20. So depending on how old you are, depending on what you ask. But at some point in time, you learn that you ask your parents for money. And if they had the wherewithal, they would try to help you. But here's the thing. God has the wherewithal. God must supply. God can supply. I mean, God's not going to not supply. He supplies our need. Now, this isn't, understand, Paul's not saying that Paul's going to supply your needs. God is going to supply your needs. And if God can't do it, I don't know who can. The point is, we got to put our trust in God. We got to wholeheartedly trust God. Now, the biggest problem that we have, let's continue. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, I want to continue to read this, and then I'll talk more about it. Philippians 4, 19. Philippians 4, 19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, God has all the riches and glory. He has everything you need. And all we got to do is trust him. And everything we get is through Jesus. It's all because Jesus died upon the cross. Do you realize, we read the scripture, by his stripes we were healed all the time. And you quote that and we think about that. But basically, it's because of what he did on Calvary and after that we have the authority and the power to have our needs met. See, because people are waiting for Jesus to do something. I know a lot of people are waiting for God or Jesus to do something. They already did. God sent Jesus, and Jesus did something about it. He died upon the cross, and he went down to hell and defeated Satan. He took away the keys, and he arose to the right hand of the Father. And now all we got to do is ask in his name. But when we ask, we got to believe. Do you believe that God can meet your need, wants to meet your need, and is able to meet your need? Because if you do, then you should start acting like it. If you wholeheartedly believe what Paul's saying here, then you shouldn't be having pity parties and trying to figure out, what am I going to do? How am I going to do it? Because I don't read anywhere where Paul says that with God, me and God together meet our needs. No point in time did Paul say, well, me and God, we work together and our needs get met. He didn't say, you're not a part of this. And if you'll get yourself out of this verse, it might start working for you. Because the majority of time is when we read this verse, my God shall supply all my needs according to riches. First of all, let me say this. This is an issue. This is one of these verses that we quote a lot. I'm sure a lot of you probably quote this scripture quite a few times, especially if you're in financial need or whatever. But we do. Just because we quote some doesn't mean that we'd actually register and we actually are a doer of God's word. Just because you know what the scripture says doesn't mean you live by the scripture. The scripture says that your God is meeting your need. And so instead of getting upset about it or sitting around having sleepless nights on how I'm going to figure out how my need is going to be met, why don't you just let God be God? Now, I'm not picking on you because I'm telling you, this is what God was telling me the other day. Why don't you let God be God and you be you? Because you're never going to figure out how it's going to work. I don't know how it's going to work. The scripture that we read here, Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, we talked about saying to a mountain. How to speak into a mountain, move the mountain. I don't know how, but the Bible didn't tell me to do it. All I have to do is speak the word, and he moves the mountain. See, many of us are trying to move our own mountain when all we should be doing is speaking. Now, here in Philippians, it's just asking. Just ask. All you got to do is ask. And it's not that hard to ask. You've been asking things for a long time for many people. Maybe you didn't grow up in my family. My kids have no trouble asking me for stuff. And, many times I tell them, go ask Poppy. Amen. because it's expensive. And I'm like, you know, go ask Poppy. It's what I do. And that's the thing. I mean, you know, when my kids ask, I'm able to provide some things, but, you know, my parents have been blessed more, that they have more than I have, you know, but we also have God that has more than enough. You understand? Remember, we serve the God who has more than enough. Not only does he have more than enough, is he wants to bless us with more than enough. That's why we get back to the offering scripture, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. See, we have to realize that that's the same God we're talking about here when we're talking about our needs being met. We're talking about the same God who's more than enough. We're talking about the greater one. We're talking about, you know, we're talking about God. You know, and, you know, I kind of joke sometimes, you know, I joke all the time, but I kind of, you know, joke about the script, you know, the song, God is God. You remember God is God, right? Singers band sing it all the time. God is God on the platform. He's God back out the door. He's God in the amen corner. He's God all over the floor, that kind of stuff. You know, and sometimes we put God in a box in a church building that causes us to dance and run and shout and whatever. But you know what? We serve the God that is able to meet your needs. Not only is he able to meet your needs, he's willing to meet your needs. He's willing, able, and all he's asking for us to do is ask. And I don't think many of us understand, and I know I got this point at a young age because I've, you know, heard a lot of messages in my life. In fact, I've told people I believe that I probably have heard more faith messages than anybody else alive. Because I started hearing faith messages, you know, from the time I was born to now. And, you know, maybe my dad might say he's heard more than me. I don't know. But he probably didn't listen as much as I did. The thing is, and my grandfather used to always point it out, is that if we don't ask, God can't do it for you. And it's real simple. I mean, all you gotta do is think about salvation. Do you realize that you have to ask to be saved? But you realize that it's God's will for each and every one of us to be saved. Understand that? But we have to ask. And everything that you receive from God is by you asking. Even though healing belongs to us, you know, by Jesus' stripes we were healed, we still have to ask for our healing. Everything you get from God is through asking. And the reason you have to ask is because of Adam and Eve. Actually, because of three people, Adam and Eve and the devil. Do you realize when they ate of the tree of knowledge, because before they ate of the tree, I mean, they were naked and they didn't realize they were naked. They ate of the tree and, you know, and at that point in time, then we had to ask. We had knowledge. At that point, we didn't have knowledge before. I mean, you know, I know I'm weird. I know I think differently than everybody else, but I've thought about this many times. I mean, do you realize if Adam and Eve would have never ate from the tree, how our life would have changed? I mean, think about the billion-dollar clothing industry that would never exist. I mean, you know, some of you like wearing different kinds of shoes, you know, different kind of belts. I mean, you want a Gucci belt and, you know, Louis Vuitton purse for you ladies, not guys, all right? Guys can have a Louis Vuitton clutch, I guess, you know. But all these things, I mean, think about it. None of that would have existed if it wasn't for Adam and Eve and the devil. I mean, really, Adam and Eve and the devil changed a lot of things in our life. But we also know the devil's a liar. I read it to you all the time, John 10:10. The devil's a liar. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's the problem. The biggest problem and why we have trouble with this verse is because the devil's a liar. Because what happens is that, you know, and I get it. I mean, you know, one thing about being, you know, studying accounting and I understand facts. Especially, you know, facts. I get numbers. And sometimes numbers will throw you off because you're looking at a number, you're thinking, that's a big number. But you understand, we serve a big God. You know, and now sometimes we feel, I felt like this many times, he said, well, that's a big number, and it was myself that got myself in a mess that made that a big number. Do you understand that? Anybody else been there? Or yourself? I mean, because of some things that you spent, or because of some things you... Now, sometimes it's a big number because there's, you know, things that you didn't think of. Like, you know, your car breaks down, or you crash your car and it breaks down, or whatever happens. I mean, there's always things that happen. You know, you were driving the other day and your transmission goes out. Well, that's a couple thousand dollars. Praise God. You know, the thing about it is that sometimes we have big numbers, but we also have a big God. There's two things in life that we need to remember. We have a big God and we have a lying devil. And that's why I read John 10:10 all the time. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come, Jesus came, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But the devil is going to lie to us all the time. He's going to say, you know what? You're not going to have enough money. I don't know how you're going to make it. I don't know what you're going to do. And that's when you have to go to the scripture. But God. This is a but God scripture. I mean, the devil says this, but God shall supply. It doesn't matter what the devil says. You have God. And that's when you have to put your butt out and say, Mr. Devil, you're a liar. My scripture says, but my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So my God has the riches. He is able. He wants to. And he will supply if I ask him to supply, and if I think he will. Remember the scripture, you know, said, if you believe, all things are possible. But the big thing is if. Do you believe? Do you believe or not believe? That's the question. That's the big question. Do you really believe? Do you believe that God will meet your need? Do you believe he can meet your need? Do you believe he's meeting your need? Do you believe he's able to do it? And do you believe that, you know, he's going to do it without your help? And that's the big thing. He doesn't need your help. All he needs is your ask. Do you realize that God didn't need your help to save you? All he needed you to do is ask. And it's obviously that was through Jesus as well, just like this is through Jesus. Everything that we ask is all through Jesus, because of Jesus. You know, and that's when we can go to the scripture. And I know it's an Old Testament scripture, but it's pertinent, you know, to forget not all his benefits. There's many benefits that we have because of Jesus, because he came, because he died, and because he rose again. And one of the benefits is we have the ability to ask, and God will meet all our needs. That's the end. There's nothing else. It doesn't matter what the devil says. It doesn't matter what anything else says. What do you believe? What do we believe? You know, I have a lot of pride, not myself pride, but pride in what's on top of this building. It's the tallest building in this city, in Broken Arrow. Not tallest in Tulsa, obviously, but tallest in this city. And on top of it spins the shield of faith, telling the world, no matter what, you can believe. And, you know, I love that faith shield, and we put it on everything from golf balls to umbrellas to T-shirts to, you know, bath soap or whatever else mom wants to put it there in the, in, you know, the bookstore. You can find the face shield on all kinds of things that you would never think you could ever find the face shield on. You know. But the point is that, you know, really we're spreading faith. I mean, that's the mandate of our ministry, to go teach my people faith. And one thing we have to do is realize that our God wants to meet our needs. Our God doesn't want us to spend sleepless nights trying to figure out how our needs are going to be met. Now, here's something else that nobody thinks about when they read the scripture. Most everyone that reads the scripture thinks that all their needs are financial, but this says all your needs, doesn't it? It doesn't say all your financial needs. So what do you need? So really, this scripture can actually apply to healing. Do you need healing? That's a need. All right, do you have some emotional needs? You know, the big buzzword and the big buzz topic, and I'm not trying to discount anything, but there are a lot of people that are hurting emotionally at this point in time. You know, and, you know, there's all kinds of treatments and all kinds of drugs and all kinds of things, but the thing is, that's a need. That's a true need. A lot of people are dealing with depression, addiction, all kinds, those are all needs. What do you need? Because whatever you need, God shall supply. Whatever you need, physical, financial, emotional, spiritual, it doesn't matter what it is. What do you need? Because, see, first of all, for God to supply it, we need to find out figure out what you need. Figure out what you need. Now, financial is pretty easy because you look at these bills and you're like, man, this is what I need. Or if you're hurting in your body and you know where the pain is, I mean, this is what I need. Or if you have some emotional, but what do you need? You have to figure out what you need, and then you have to realize that your God is able, he's willing, he can, and he wants to supply your need. And then we have to do the biggest part, we have to ask him. Now, here's the great thing about God. God cannot and will not say no. So don't be afraid to ask. My mom, many of you heard the story, so I'm not, you know, my mom asked God for parking places. Amen. Why? Because the Bible nowhere says you cannot ask for a parking place. Do you realize that? You know, and at the point in time, you know, she's trying to run into the mall, she feels she needs a close parking place. So that was her need. What do you need? Now you might think, well, that's not a big thing. I mean, that's, you know, who cares whether she gets a parking place or not? Well, she does. Now, a number of years ago, actually, this is from my first book, The Power of God, I talked about some golf clubs. One day I was actually sitting in my grandfather's meeting, and all of a sudden, you know, we're talking about believing God for stuff, and all of a sudden it hit me, I want some new golf clubs. Great, new golf clubs, all right. Think about it, I don't want to pay for the new golf clubs, or you know, I might be willing to pay, but I don't want to take money out of our family bank account because my wife doesn't want to pay for my new golf clubs. That's really where it was. And at the point in time, you know, I might have wherewithal been able to buy a set, but not the set I wanted. So you know what I did? I asked God. Why? Because I felt that's what I needed. Now, I actually, when I asked him, I knew that it wasn't going to help my golf game a whole lot because you got to practice for that. All right? And you should be glad that I am bad at golf. And my dad's bad at golf. Because there are a lot of pastors that are good at golf. I'm not sure if they're good pastors, but they're good at golf. I mean, the point is that we're usually always here. Not playing golf. Nothing wrong with playing golf. I like playing golf. But the biggest issue is I asked God and he supplied. Not only did he supply, I really only asked him for irons. If you know anything about golf clubs, I got the irons, I got the woods, I had a bag, I had money left over, so I bought some shoes. I got everything. I got everything I needed more. Why? Because I asked, and I asked, and I believed. And when I believe, I mean, I made it a point to believe because, you know, I felt this is an easy thing. Golf clubs, how easy it is for God. I mean, I told God, if someone gives me money, if somebody, you know, I don't care if someone donates it to me or gives me money or I didn't start a GoFundMe. I just said, if someone gives me money out of the blue, someone's going to give you what we call a Pentecostal handshake or you get handed $100. Anytime I'm going to get any extra money, that's going to go on my golf clubs. Because I felt, well, that's how God's going to bless me. And, you know, it was interesting how things worked. And I actually pretty much had almost what I needed. And my birthday came up. And people that hadn't gave me a birthday present since that day, back in 1992 or whenever it was, gave me a birthday present that year. I don't know why, but just if you want to, I'm turning 50 this year on my birthday. It's right in the middle of camp meeting. I'll be here, $50 from everybody. Every one of my friends will give me $50. And, you know, I have 10,000 Facebook friends. That's $50,000. And I can buy some golf clubs with that. So, you know, praise God. I'm just joking about that, but it would be a blessing. I don't want to take away your blessing if that's what you want to do, you know. But the point is, and here's the thing. I don't depend on you meeting my need either. You know, the Bible doesn't say, my God shall supply all my need according to everybody that I know. And see, that's the thing. A lot of us, we put in our own mind. I mean, some of us even have relatives or friends who have blessed us in the past. And our own mind thinks, well, you know what? They're going to bless us again in the future. You know what? God has another 7 billion people he could use to bless you in this world. He doesn't have to use the three that you know. Now, he could, you know, but just as well, I mean, you could have some billionaire somehow write a letter to you and put a check in it. Yeah, I mean, you know, you say, well, that's not going to happen. Well, it's not going to happen if you don't believe it's going to happen. See, I never put anything on God. God, I don't care how it comes. I don't care. You know, you pick the way. It's not, I don't have to pick the way. I don't have to decide how it's going to come. My point is, you're going to meet my needs because you said so. Now, do you believe it or do you not believe it? I mean, you know, we got to believe it or not. Now, let's look at this in the New Living Translation. I just want to read it there. Philippians 4:19, New Living, says this. And the same God who takes care of me, this is Paul talking, the same God that takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. So the same God takes care of Paul, the same God takes care of me, the same God takes care of you and everybody else. Now, many times I've heard people, I've seen people, they see a testimony or they hear a testimony how God met somebody else's needs. And they're thinking, yeah, but that's this person. I don't know how many times I've heard people, you know, traveling with my grandfather, and people say, well, yeah, but that was Brother Hagin. He met Brother Hagin's needs. Well, but does Brother Hagin have a different God than you do? Does he have a different God? That's a serious question. Are you believing that there's different gods? You know, there's one in Oklahoma City, one in Tulsa, one in Joplin, one in Kansas City, one in New York, one in LA. We have different gods. No, there's only one God. And the Bible clearly says that our God is no respecter of persons. So you can't say, well, he had a lot more faith. You don't have to have, it doesn't matter. The Bible says you have the faith of a mustard seed. Anyone ever seen what a mustard seed looks like? I used to carry mustard seeds with me all the time. Before I started carrying my digital Bible. In fact, if I go back to all the Bibles, I have mustard seeds in there. Why? Because one time I was preaching about mustard seeds and I didn't have one, so now I have plenty. The point is, if you have a mustard seed is so small for me to hold it up, you guys wouldn't be able to see it. And the Bible says if you have that much faith, faith that you can, so small you can hardly see, that you can move a mountain. Now, here's the thing. Let's just pick a number. Let's pick a big number. 25,000. That's a big number, right? How many would be thrilled if $25,000 came to you tonight? You guys don't act like you're really excited, man. If I had $25,000, I'd be jumping around, jumping off this platform, jumping over all of these pews and everything else. But that's a big number. All right? I mean, you know, I don't know what your needs or what your wants or what your desires are, but 25,000 is a small number to God. And think about it is, I mean, you know, it would be a whole lot easier to get $25,000 than it would be to move a mountain. Do you realize that? I mean, even if you were thinking about a natural circumstance, let's think about this. You know, if we were in Colorado and we want to put a highway and there happens to be a mountain in the way, so what we have to do is we have to build a tunnel. Anybody ever been through a tunnel in Colorado? I've been through a few. Now, when I was a kid, I called them tunnels, by the way. I don't know why. And my mom, you know, we traveled on the road, and I said, we're going through a tunnel. My mom said, no, a tunnel. I said, that's what I said, tunnel. Anyway, the point is, if we were going to build a tunnel through a mountain, do you know how many millions of dollars it would cost? 10 million? I don't know. I mean, you know. So, I mean, 10 million to drill through a mountain, how much would it take you to actually obliterate a mountain? Billions? I mean, you know, that sounds hard. I mean, $25,000 sounds pretty easy compared to obliterating a mountain. And the Bible says if you have the faith of mustard seed, just a little bit of faith, that's what you can do. So what I'm trying to tell you is some of you must not even have any faith. I mean, you know, because if it only takes a little bit to move a mountain, think how small it would take for $25,000. Now, I'm trying to put a number on it because I'm trying to show you that our God is able. Our God is willing. We have scripture and verse for it. All we got to do is ask. All we got to do is believe. It doesn't say for us to do anything. It doesn't say that we have to make it happen. Now, I understand maybe you're in business and it's all about making it happen. But when it's about God, it's about Him making it happen. You asking. So I just want to talk to you tonight just a little bit about, let's just believe the Bible. And I realize the devil's going to try to lie to you, but remember, but God. But my God. But my God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know what? So I'm going to let Him. And it takes a lot of stress off when you're letting God. Because it's pretty stressful when trying to figure out yourself. You know, and that's why some saying that I say it all the time is stop trying and start relying. Stop trying to do it and start relying on God. With God, all things are possible. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You once again for each and every person that's here tonight. Father, we thank You for their life, and we thank You, Father, for us to always remember, you know, when we're going through times and troubles and we have needs, whether it be financial, physical, spiritual, emotional, whatever they might be. Father God, we thank You. Help us to understand that You are meeting our needs. You have met our needs. And all we got to do is believe. All we got to do is ask. It's really simple, Father. But just help us to be able to ask. And once we ask, be able to have that peace that passes all understanding overtake us, Father. We just thank You right now for each and every person that's here. We thank You, Father, for this verse becoming more real to them than it's ever been before. We thank You for their lives. We thank You for what You're doing in their lives. And we just give You the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, the way we do around here, you all stand up, first of all. If you have a need in your life or you need prayer for anything, we have some individuals back there at that door right there. If you need prayer, salvation, you need healing, if you need anything, you need prayer for anything, if you go right back to that door, they'll lead you and they'll pray for you. If you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you. We're sorry you had to sit in the balcony, but pretty soon you can come by and come back and sit in our beautiful new pews. But if you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you, and there'll be the team will be there, and they're going to take you to the place and give you some material, and thank you for coming. And you know, if you're from the Tulsa area, we would invite you to make this your church home. If you're not from the area, make this your home away from home. Amen. God's good. Amen. God's good. And that's what we have to understand. We have to understand God's good. And we can live in His goodness. Just trust in Him. Trust in Him. And you'll see how good it will be. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you guys. We'll see you Sunday morning. Hopefully we'll have most of these pews ready to go and you can be here on the main floor. Have a wonderful day, a wonderful night. And we'll see you guys on Sunday. God bless you.